All right. Well, I spent a lot of consideration. I was impressed to go ahead and do this, and I'm going to go ahead and follow through on it. And never doubt in darkness what God reveals in the light, darkness of my own brain. Genesis 16 and Galatians 4. I just thought we'd do the same thing we did this morning, just in case. No. Genesis 6 and Galatians 4. See, y'all listening at least this far. Hallelujah. Is that loud enough? I'll climb up on this and get out of the way of it in a minute. I want to review a few minutes. This morning we talked about Isaac and Ishmael. And I want to cast just a generic vision before you tonight that maybe you could use on an everyday basis with the news the way it is today. Okay? Remember this morning? Remember this morning we talked about Isaac and Ishmael? We talked about new man and old man. When God gave the inheritance to Isaac, come over in your Bible to Genesis chapter 26. Well, come over to Genesis 21 first, in verse 12. There came a time when it was right, and this is the verse you need to latch on to, ladies, okay? Give you some warning. You need to hang on to this one. We're going to read it and see if y'all get it, okay? Verse 12. God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. You need to underline that. You need to memorize that. That's a good one, ain't it? Huh? Ladies, you fellas, the guys are like, no, don't do this. Too late, man. It's in there. But see, you always got the first time, okay? The first time it was don't listen. So you get veto power. At least you let them think that. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. There came a time in this chapter when he sent Ishmael and his mama out. Gone. Done for. Okay? That thing was the will of God, and it was by the decree of Abraham. He was the dad of both those boys. It was by his decree. And time goes on, as we spoke about this morning, and he gets a bride for Isaac. And all that happens, chapter 25 with me for a minute. There's nothing new, I realize that. And if I was ever preaching something new, I'd be worried to death about it from my point of view. Because if it's new, I ain't doing it. There's too much in there that I already know for sure. But he takes a wife, and her name was Keturah. She bare him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian. That strike a bell? Anybody heard of the Midianites? How about that? This Bible's up to date, ain't it? And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Isaac and Ishmael from a little different standpoint. This morning it was about victory in Jesus over the persecutor. But I want to talk tonight about victory in Jesus over the imposter. And when you turn on the news, which honestly, they should call it the olds, because it's only new maybe about once a month or once a year. It's just, I pity the people who have to have a 24-hour news channel and operate it. Can you put yourself in their shoes? You'd have to hire people to go out and stir up stuff, which they do. They'd say, look, go over here on the east side and stir up some crime because we ain't got nothing to write about, you know? And they're not going to write good news, heaven forbid. So these people, look, Midian and Ishbak and Shua. And then he goes on down through there, okay? Now, what he does is this. Is he takes these boys, verse 5, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. All that he had unto Isaac. Have you ever even begun to think a little bit about what Paul meant when he asked that God would enlighten the believers' eyes in Ephesians to help them know what they had in Christ? You know, we don't do near enough thinking about that in this day and age. For one thing, your life is so busy, isn't it? And then on top of that, you make it busy, because that way you don't have to listen to your conscience, amen? But if you slow down a little bit and you think about what you have in Christ, it's unbelievable. That song tonight. That song, I mean, I remember the first time I ever heard that song many, 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 many years ago down there in Florida where I went to school. And I'm telling you, man, that thing never gets old. I like the verse where it says, mine eye, a quickening ray, I awoke. The dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. Hallelujah. Glory. I have an awful lot in Jesus Christ, and so do you. But there is an imposter that wants to infringe on God's territory. Now, if you're saved, God bought you because he said he did. Okay? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? God's. I didn't make that up. It's not the motivational speech here. It's the real deal. But in your daily news, you have these guys today that if you drew a map of the land of Israel the way God gave it, they are forever claiming that it's theirs. They are forever trying to run the Jew out of the land God gave. The Jew didn't make it up. Have you ever thought, as awesome of fighters as they were, if God's hand was on them and he said, conquer as much as you want, what they could have done? But instead, he said, here's a boundary. You live inside that boundary. And so what happens is, they had only that boundary. They weren't allowed to go out and conquer anywhere else. Now, there is an application for you and I as Christians today. Although you can do almost anything, the power to do something is not necessarily the right to do it. Did Cain have the power to kill Abel? Did he have the power to kill Abel? Do we agree on that? He killed him. Did he have the right to do it? Uh-uh. Don't you have the power to do some things you don't have a right to do? Don't you have the skill to do some things you ought not do? Wouldn't it be surprising if we found out that these antivirus companies have some guys on their payrolls that keep them in business, that write viruses? That'd be a sure way to stay in business, wouldn't it? Not out of the question, is it? No, of course not. You say, what's the point? The point is this. We're going to talk about the imposter, Ishmael. He's an imposter. He feigns to have some rights. He pretends to have an inheritance, and he didn't have any inheritance. Does he have the power to do it? Yeah. We read about the Midianites. Look what happens. Excuse me, verse 6. Under the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac while he yet lived. Why? He wanted to make this thing sure. He wanted it to be documented. He wanted it to be set. He was not going to wait for the boys to settle amongst themselves. It could be Isaac against the whole group of them. And he knew that one of them was going to be a wild man, and every man's hand would be against him, and him against every man's hand. And so he knew that he needed to settle this, and he did. And notice what he did. Eastward unto the east country. He sent them west to east. West-east in your Bible is not a good direction to go. I was driving somewhere a while back. I think it was when I was moving up to Kentucky there, and I had one of those NPR things on, and this guy's doing this thing about light and sleep and jet lag and all this stuff. Of course, everything he said, I've witnessed. I've flown quite a bit through the years, and when you go west-east, it's killer sometimes. You can go east-west almost all the way around the world, and just you're no you problem. You don't miss a beat. That's because west-east is going against the way God goes. You're going with the world and against the sun. And so he sends them out as a curse. He sends them out west-east. He sends them out the wrong way, and he says, get out of here. If we drew you a map today and you drew the Mediterranean Sea here and the Promised Land like this, bounded by the Jordan River, there was 2.5 tribes that settled on the east side of the Jordan River, Reuben, Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh. They settled on the east side, the same direction he sent these boys out, and so the first people to go into captivity, which is a bad thing, were those 2.5 tribes because they never went into the Promised Land. They were vulnerable. And so the picture we have in our Bible is this. Every single day of your life and throughout the day, there is a battle going on for who will have the use of your land. Who will have the use of you as a person? Who will have the use of your fingers, your hands, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your nose, your brain, your feet? Romans 6 and 7 calls it your members. That's what you do life with, is your members. You ever thought how many people's members get into trouble on the internet? And listen, I don't get shocked, I guess. I get sadly disappointed. Over and over, you hear these young couples splitting up. because one of the knuckleheads gets on the internet and thinks he's met the love of his life on the internet when he's already supposed to be married to one. Or she. You know what they're doing wrong? They're not using their members right. You use your member to click that button. Use that member to make that phone call. Use that member to read that article, look at that stuff. You use your brain. Your brain's a member. Your brain is an instrument to be controlled. And the stuff you run through it, the thoughts you run through it. So here's the thing. There is an imposter that likes to come into our life, but he's within us. He's in our land. And what he wants to do is he wants to control that land. He wants to influence us in such a way, and he talks in the first person. I want to do this. I want to do that. Sometimes he'll get you to thinking you want to do it by saying, well, man, don't you want to do that? Wouldn't that be right? Well, how are you going to put... You can't put up with that. How dare they? Right? He came to Eve and he tried to get her to think God wasn't fair. And God was harsh. How many people end up... You know, we use the term out of church, don't we? You know what we really mean? I think most of us do. We mean out of fellowship with God. Because for the most part, I understand, listen, I've been places where there was no church for people to go to. But for the most part, the idea of going to church and getting fed and having fellowship with believers and following God and obeying God and giving Him your Sunday and giving Him your time, they go hand in hand with walking with God. There are a handful of times when a believer might be in an isolated place, in a bad position, and they keep reading their Bible and they keep praying and they keep witnessing and they keep doing the right things and they walk with God. But if there's a place to go meet, I preach on we because of He. Doesn't it say we love Him because He loved us? And so we read our Bible, we keep His words because He keeps His. And one of the reasons we meet at His house because He said He'll meet you there. All through the Bible, Old and New Testament. So here we are in our body. And this Ishmael wants to talk that way. Ishmael's a child of the flesh. That carnal nature, that wild nature, which we talked about this morning. But think of today about this. Picture that we take the promised land, Israel, and we think about what the enemies of Israel are doing right now. We think about some of their claims. We think about some of their techniques and tactics. And what I'm praying is that God will take this next few minutes and you'll just get some ideas. I'm not going to come near exhausting. I really don't want to. I love to be able to put out an idea where you go away and you do a little bit of thinking. That's a blessing, isn't it? Isn't it a blessing to have this to think about when you're going down the road or sitting in your house or whatever you're doing? And I mean, my days are packed full. I'm going to drive till 1 o'clock in the morning and get up at 6 and go to work in the morning. But my point is this. Along the way, there's all kind of stuff. And so you can get in your Bible. But when you glance at the news, you know what you can do? You can start seeing some things about your Christian life. For example, Ishmael and his brothers, they infringe on Isaac's land. They insist they have a right that they don't have. That's your old nature. You know what it does? It has no authority. But if you don't remind it, it doesn't. It's going to come in there and speak with authority. You know what it's going to say to you? You've got to have that. You have to have that. Now, it might not be the same with you ladies, but with guys, you know, I mean, what could be worse than not actually needing something and walking through Home Depot or Lowe's? You tell me that's not every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Huh? And man, every week they come up with some new tool. And then you got, and the coolest thing is if you try hard enough, you can find some reason you need it to do something or create it to do. Don't you understand what they're about? Right? Now, that doesn't mean you don't work on stuff, but you understand how easy. The world is not trying to help you live for God. The world is trying to help you spend money. Now, they're not going to come up to you and say, spend money, spend money, spend money. They're going to appeal to you, for your comfort, for the aesthetics of it, whatever. And then they're going to let you know that to do it, you got to part with some dough. Okay? What are they appealing to? They're appealing to that old Ishmael thing. And so let's think about Israel today. What's happening there? Okay, we've got a situation where they are constantly trying to obliterate them off the face of the earth one way or another. You take Iran and all these places and their rulers and all the incredible statements they make. But the picture is inside of you. You got somebody in there that he absolutely hates God. You do. Even you ladies do. Now, you could look at us guys and go, yeah, I'll bet they do have something inside them that hates God. We're just rough and whatever. But you girls do too. And it's subtle. And so in some cases, they'll insist they have rights they don't have. In some cases, they will infringe. Listen, right now, the enemies of Israel are incessant at trying to squash Isaac. Have you not marveled that you can be thinking about the Lord one minute and not the next? Or am I the only one? Okay, see, y'all act like I'm up here, you're my priest and I'm confessing to you or something. We've got to change this relationship quick or we ain't going to get nowhere. Haven't you ever marveled that you read your Bible, you go to bed, and you wake up mean as a snake? A cut snake? You say, how mean is a cut snake? True story, one time I got this snake. He was over there. Over there, there's a lot of poisonous snakes where I live in Australia. And so there's one in the house. And I had this really cool K-bar knife this guy sent me as a gift, and I was looking for a chance to use it. So this is my chance. So I got a golf club, and I pinned his head down, and I cut his head off. And when I led that club up, the stub started striking my hand. The stub with no head on it. And I mean, that is just like the devil. Your old nature has been declared dead. I am crucified with Christ. But it's just like the Ishmaelites over there right now in the Middle East. They're not going to, they have no right. And you could sit there and say, you have no right. And they're going to laugh and say, fire too. They don't care until somebody wipes them out, which he will. They're going to keep doing it. And until you lay this old body down, it's going to keep happening. So you might go to bed. Have you ever, some people think that by reading your Bible in the morning and praying, that somehow you're kind of like you just switch automatic pilot on and you're going to have an incredible day. In case you haven't been disappointed yet, hang on, because you will, because it don't happen that way. What that's supposed to do is that's supposed to put Isaac back in charge. What that's supposed to do is get all that junk out of your head. Have you ever had a stress on your mind and you wake up 3:00 in the morning and there it is? Have you ever felt the emotion of fear when there was nothing actually in the house to fear, but you're fearing something in the future? Or you had a weight upon you? Have you ever extrapolated off into the future and experienced the emotions? Listen, we're talking about snakes. If I took a big old, long, 5-foot Western brown snake, which is very poisonous, and I threw it under this pew, I have a feeling that y'all wouldn't just go, boy, that's nice. If I took it over to these girls and threw it under, I got a feeling, of course, one of them would probably show me up and just grab it and bite its head off. But I'm not saying which one. I'm just saying somebody might. Yeah. Here's the deal. If I took a fake one, but it looked like a real one, and I threw it in their lap, they would have the same exact emotions, the same exact as if it was real. And they would sue to do the same exact damage to those pews as if it was real. Right? So an imagined fear can do just as much harm to you as a real fear. That's not psychology. You know what that is? That's Bible. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Paul said, Timothy, you're backing up from me, man. Timothy, don't be afraid. Forward, Timothy. Forward, Timothy. The only hope is forward. And so Ishmael says, we're going to wipe you out. Don't you ever wonder how they get so much fortitude over there to fight back that little old country? Man, that stirs me up. Man, I mean, makes you wish you were in the Old Testament for a few more minutes. Huh? We just go ahead and load up 3 or 4 days rations, about 6 months ammunition, and go for it. Well, we don't get to do that. We have to fight a spiritual fight. We don't get to whoop up on nobody. In other words, we do not get to fight anybody, okay? He imitates Isaac's religion. He imitates it. They have a religion. You know, in Sydney, Australia, they were the first city in the Western world to publish the daily prayer times in their daily newspaper. That's how far around the world these people have gone years and years ago. I've been in many, many places around where I've been in airports. I've been in all parts of the world where at the given time, you see this little rug get rolled out and they'll face the east and pray. They do not care who's watching them. They imitate Isaac's religion. Ishmael can sit in a Baptist church. Ishmael can sit in any place he wants to. He will imitate God's true worship. Have you not been shocked sometimes to find out that people who claim to be Christians, you know, and got into some messed up thing, you know what it started with? Ishmael. Ishmael can slip in, listen, Ishmael can slip in beside Isaac, nod his head, open his sandal, elbow when it's for them. Yeah. But if Ishmael's in charge, something's going to break down sooner or later. You see, what they're trying to do is they're trying their best. They're going to fight, listen, until the end to get rid of Isaac. Now, so is your old nature. It's not going to take a vacation and say, look, have a few weeks off, I'll be back. Now, I don't know if you know much about fighting, but one of the surest ways to win is let the other person think they're in control. When there's fighting arts where what we would do is when the guy goes to grab you, you just take his hands and you put them on your hips and he thinks, man, I got this dude. And then you take his head off. Because he's like this. Guess what's showing? His neck. His Adam's apple and his temple. It's over. You just go, say, here, have me. Wham! That's what the devil does to us sometimes. He gets us to let our guard down. He gets us to think that there's no harm in certain things. And, oh, that's just that old preacher preaching. And that's just my parents. And that's just... Christianity has no age boundaries. What was right 2,000 years ago is right today. It didn't change because somebody wanted to sell you something. Now, here's what's cool about it. Is even though he ignores the boundaries of the Lord, and let me say this, they ignore the boundaries that God set out. You agree? They're over there right now, and they're ignoring. They have no, they don't care a thing on earth about what God said in his Bible. And you could sit there with them, you could open it, and they don't care. That's just like your old nature. If you try to argue with it and say, no, whoa, 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 old nature, let me tell you something, old boy. I died with Christ, and you're dead. And he'll say, then why am I talking? And why are you conversing with me if I'm dead? Because you're not supposed to be talking to a dead person. He will not honor any boundaries. There's no way that old nature honors boundaries. So you can't just regulate him. And you can't reason with him. So what happens is we begin to look at what they had to do. And Isaac's consecration was his conquering. We are more than conquerors. Come over to Romans 8 for a moment. Just for a minute. Romans 8. A great passage of Scripture. I'd encourage you to take the time to memorize Romans 8 if you ever get a chance. Just do a few verses a day. You know, many people today... You young people are you're smart. You really are. You've got faculties, and God says, I want you to use my faculties. Fellas, does it not offend you occasionally how easy it is for you to remember certain numbers and you can't remember a verse of Scripture? Numbers like a batting average? Numbers like what stock went to such and such? Numbers like a football score? Numbers like what the bill was on the card when it came in. numbers. We can memorize stuff. Use it while you have a chance. You say, oh, I'm going to know the Bible when I get there. Whoa. He's going to ask you what you did with it while you're here. But wouldn't it be great to have some of this stuff at your mental fingertips? Watch. Let's pick up Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, comma. Do you know most of your perversions leave out the last half of this verse? You know why they do? They want you to believe that there is no condemnation to a believer, period. Because they don't want you on your toes. Do you know what Ishmael wants Israel to believe right now? That they don't have a right to that stuff. That if they can overpower them, then they don't have any right. What they're discounting is God said it's theirs. And they're discounting that for 2,000 years the Lord has said, Israel, I'm not going to bless you yet. I haven't cut you off completely, but I'm not going to empower. They better get back there and read that Old Testament. When he empowers them, nothing stands in their way. They've demonstrated little bits of that here and there the last 100 years. But buddy, when it cuts loose, it's going to be cut loose. So notice here that who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, would you read this? Hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Application to the Middle East. When God gave them that land, he canceled the law of possession and power. There is a sense in which might is right for the whole rest of the world. There's a sense in which if you got enough power to hold your piece of land, it's yours. Nations have done that to nations from day one. But there's a part of this earth that God said, it doesn't matter who's got the power, it's my son's, Israel, small s. It's his, okay? So God saves you. When he saves you, he makes you free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, Ishmael. God sent in his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Why? Would you mark this verse and meditate on it just a little bit later? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know what God's will for your life is? My life. That the righteousness of the law would be fulfilled in us when we walk after the Spirit. That we would demonstrate what the will of God is. You know, over there in Romans 12, when he says that good, acceptable, and perfect, those are all adjectives about the same thing. Because he said, if you will present your body a living sacrifice, he said, you will show the world what my will is. And he said, my will is that you, as a believer, would show me worthy and follow me. Ishmael does not want. You know what? Every day that Israel lives is a condemnation to those who say there is no Jesus Christ, there is no Jehovah God, there is no Old Testament as we know it. It's an offense to them. And every time you obey the Lord, every time you praise him, every time you give him glory, every time you obey him, it is an offense to your old nature. Because it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's an offense to it. Now the blessed thing is, it's dead. So when we get down through here, look what he starts talking about. He starts talking about this. He says, for as many, verse 14, as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That word adoption is an English word, and it doesn't mean what we use it in America. It's an English word. You go back into history in Europe, and adoption was this. When a son or daughter came to the age at which they were going to receive their inheritance, the dad went down and signed a document of adoption. And he would describe how much of his inheritance they would get. And he based it upon their relationship to him. This is history. This was the case when they translated your King James Bible. They chose that word providentially. It wasn't just taken. I wasn't adopted into the family of God. I was born. So when it says the spirit of adoption, read on there and let's look at what he associates it with. Watch. He said, the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, colon. We're continuing this thought and sentence. If children, then what? Ah, heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Isn't that exciting? What's the next word? Circle it. Or mark it. What's the next word? If. 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 Does that have anything to do with your salvation? No. What's it got to do with? You're a what? H-E-I-R-S. So what's it got something to do with? Your inheritance. So what's Israel fighting for right now? Their inheritance. They're not just fighting for a piece of land. They're fighting for what God promised them all those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Their inheritance. Do you remember what happened to old Naboth? Naboth had a vineyard. He didn't go buy it next to the king's palace. It was handed down to him. It was an inheritance. And Ahab decided to come over there, being a spoiled little brat that he was. And of course, his wife had decided to be his mother instead of his wife, and she made him to a spoiled brat. Take that home and chew on it. But anyway, he says, give me that. I'll give you money. I'll give you a better vineyard. He said, I can't. It's my inheritance. So in Romans 8, he's saying, the reason I want to walk after the Spirit of God, the reason I don't want to walk after Ishmael, the reason I don't want to believe Ishmael, is I've got something waiting for me when I get there. If, look at it, if we what? If we what? If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Let's read on. I reckon the sufferings of this present time, do you think it's not suffering for people to be getting their houses rocketed in Israel? Sending their boys off to war? Do you have any idea how many body bags they use up? We just don't understand it because it hasn't touched our soil. Day in, day out, year in, century out. I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Why do I want to make sure that my promised land here, my inheritance, my Christian life on this earth, why, what is it the Holy Spirit says to me all the time? There's a day coming, Michael. There's a day coming when God's going to sit down, the Father's going to write out your certificate of adoption. You're already in his family. You're already a son. I was born into it. I'm born again. I hope you are. But he's going to decide, as a son, what I was worth by my faithfulness to my Father. Did he not take all those boys and send them eastward, except one? Did he not? Come on. We're almost done. Right? So guess what? There's only one part of you that can inherit eternity as far as your inheritance and your rewards in eternity. The things you do in the flesh will stay here. I could build a church attendance in my flesh. I could make you think I'm okay in my flesh. I could do church work in my flesh. And guess where it stays? Right here with my flesh. But you see, someday, when we get there, and I can see it, well, I can see it just as clear as a bell, what it'd be like. I think of some pictures I have in my mind. I think of a man named Carlos Hathcock laying on a hospital bed on a ship, burned from head to toe because he did one extra mission he didn't have to do. He had already done multiple missions and tours of Vietnam. He was, at that time, the most decorated sniper. He saved hundreds and hundreds of lives. And he jumped on an Amtrak to do one more mission he didn't even have to do, just to help ride shotgun. And they got it, and they blew that convoy up, and it burned him from head to toe. And you can see in his eyes, in that little black and white photo, what it meant to him for his CO to pin that ribbon on his pillow. He couldn't move. He couldn't move his face. All he could see was in his eyes. What do you think it's going to be if we could just stick with this thing and him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Good job, Mike. And someone goes, what did he do? Nothing. He just stayed faithful. Nothing anybody ever knew about. Nothing anybody ever wrote about. I'm not going to do anything anybody's ever going to write about. Hopefully, because if they did, it'd be wrong. It'd be some in a newspaper somewhere. But I want to get there someday. I want to defy Ishmael. I'm like those Israelites all over there right now. They're like, don't come any closer. Don't keep messing with our territory. This is our inheritance. Do you see, for 2,000 years, they were displaced. Do you realize that? You know, review with me a minute. They were displaced. The old saying is World War I got the land ready for the Jew, and World War II got the Jew ready for the land. And when God got through with them after World War II, and this is something you're not going to hear, sadly enough, a lot of the stuff like, and people who are associated with Israel and all that sort of thing, one thing you never see in their presentations, they never slow down and say, look, we want to see God restore the Jew, but the Jew is suffering because they crucified Jesus Christ. They never throw that in there. And it bugs me. I tell the truth. We're just as much for Israel as you are, but tell the truth why they're suffering. It isn't because, well, people are mad because they make money and stuff. No, it's because God said, you will not reject my son and get away with it. So he got them ready after 2,000 years approximately, and now he's getting them back. And they're back in there. And you know what they know? They know this is where we belong. I better stay in my inheritance. And I'm saying to you, tonight when you go to bed, tomorrow when you get up, when you make decisions about life, when you pray over what to do with your body and your mind and your skills and you think about careers and you think about where do I take this job? Do I go over here? Do I do that? You need to say, Lord, what do you want out of me? What's my inheritance in this life? Because, Lord, your Holy Spirit. See what it says there, capital S, Spirit of adoption. We cry, Abba, Father. That's why it's so natural to pray, Father, please listen. Father, please tell me what to do. It's as natural as breathing when you're saved. You don't have to sit down and learn it. Because there's a spirit inside of you that says, I want one day to pick up that little certificate from the Lord and Him say, I'm proud of you, son. Oh, He won't be able to say I was faultless, or you. But He could say, yes, by the grace of God, yes, by the blood of Christ. Yes, as the song says, in my Father's eyes, He must be blinded by the Son, capital S-O-N. But He would say to me, you hung on to your territory. You hung on to your inheritance. You did what I wanted you to do. When did Israel get in a jam in the Old Testament? When they quit hanging on to their inheritance. When they would surrender it a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. That's why we preach like we do. That's why we teach like we do. We're not setting up some system where you got to be a certain way. We talk about modesty. We talk about money. We talk about everything you can think of, because someday when you get there, I want you, if I could have one prayer for you who are saved here tonight, one prayer, if God would give me one prayer, it'd be that you'd get a full reward. If I could have one prayer, God would answer one prayer for me, is that somehow He would use something I say and someone else says, and that you would just say, I am determined to get a full reward when I get there. Because I will never have to apologize for having prayed that for you. If it cost you your health, you wouldn't have to regret it. If it cost you your wealth, you would not regret it. If it cost you your friends, it'd be nothing compared to a full reward. And we could go on and on and on. There's nothing it could cost you that would be too big a price. Now you say, how does it work? Colossians chapter 3, and we'll close. I get so burdened. I know something, okay? And I know this with all my heart. I know that the one thing the devil wants to do is keep you from getting a full reward. And here's how I know it. Is he hates God. There's nobody in here. I don't care. Maybe you got something deep down inside you, and you might have somebody you hate or something that happened to you that you hate. Okay? But there's nobody in this room, if you added up all our hate together and put it on a hate meter, it wouldn't even move the needle compared to the devil. And I know you can't understand that, and I can't comprehend it, but he does. There was a day when he thought he would depose God, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. And since the day that God said, you're through, and then he brought him down to here, And then he said, okay, you want to mess with my humans I created? Now you're down on your belly. And it won't be long, you're done. He hates him. And because he hates it, he doesn't want you to get a good inheritance. Watch this. The son or daughter that obeys the father and gets the full adoption is making a statement about the father. Yeah. And that's what he doesn't want. So in Colossians 3, listen, when you guys put on your boots in the morning, your work boots, you're putting on your combat boots for Jesus. When you get in your car, you're getting in your Humvee for Jesus. Don't drive like one. Just drive like a civilian, okay? Civil. Ladies, when you're doing, whatever you're doing, how do I know that? Colossians chapter 3, and we'll close. Verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. If you're turning wrenches, if you're running wire, if you're vacuuming, if you're changing diapers. Verse 23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now, when something says knowing in the Bible, what does that mean? You know what it means in the original? Knowing. See if you're all listening. It means I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. Paul said, here's what you can know. That every single task you do in life can work towards your inheritance if you're doing it in Isaac, in Jesus. That is the most, to me, that's one of the most encouraging verses in all the Bible. Because I hate wasting time and effort. Right? You mow grass and it grows again. You know, ladies, you do dishes and they dirty them again. You spend all this time on a meal and they eat it, burp, and go out of the room. I mean, good grief, life is such a circular, you feel like you're just chasing your tail all day long. But if I'll do it in Jesus' name, someday, if I'll stick to it and I'll resist old Ishmael, here's what Ishmael wants you to do. This is my everyday life. It doesn't matter. Are you getting this? I want you tomorrow morning, when you get up, picture, this is my day. This is the day the Lord hath made. How I live it matters. And if I let Ishmael invade my territory, then I'm letting him win. It's the same as if Israel would just drop their arms like every once in a while and say, oh, come on in and have your way over my dead body. And to Ishmael, I say, over your dead body. I like what General Patton said. He said, your job isn't to die for your country. It's to make the other fellow die for his country. That's a paraphrase for church. But anyway, I like that. Huh? My job is it's to take Ishmael and spank him. Whoop him. Because it says in Romans 8, we are what? More than conquerors. What's more than conquerors? More than conquerors is not 20 to 10. More than conquerors is like 100 to 0 in ping pong. By ones. You getting this? Tomorrow morning when you get up, I pray, I do. You say, Lord, this is my day. This is the inheritance you gave me. I'm alive. I'm awake. It's another day. I know when I wake up morning, I'm alive by all the old injuries that are still there. And you're like, oh man, I remember that one. Okay, oh, here we go. You know, let's go. But here's the deal. Tomorrow morning when you get up, say, Ishmael, this is God's territory. I am bought with a price. You don't get in here. You try to come in here, I'm going to give you a black eye, a bloody nose. I'm going to blow you off the map. Amen. And say, you know something? You almost got me sent to hell. Take a hike. This is God's territory. When you go home tonight, your spare time is God's. He's not selfish. If he gives you a hobby to do and it's of him, do it. But if he taps you on the shoulder and says, you know that book over there? I told him this morning, I said, can you imagine the ecological disaster if every Christian on earth at the same time blew the dust off their Bibles? It would envelop the earth. And so say to yourself, I'm going to win. See, this thing of Ishmael and Isaac was a whole lot more than just a history lesson. It's a whole lot more than just a story about some dysfunctional brothers against their half-brother. It's about something that one day will matter in eternity. And God gives it to us so we can go through the day and go, Yeah, I see that. Yeah, I see that. And what a blessed thing to be able to have something that I can take through every minute. Tomorrow, I'm going to get in the car, I'm going to drive. Tomorrow, I got to go install a bunch of wire. You know what God cares about? My attitude about it. Now, before I was saved, it didn't matter. I'd be out there. I told you before, I was either on a horse, under a horse, or cleaning up after a horse. From the time I was 4 years old on. A lot of times I spent under him. I was my dad's test pilot. And man, I tell you, you know, it didn't. Just so you got to know, he didn't care if I was happy. He didn't come on. He never came up to me and said, "Oh, Mike, are you happy doing this?" He didn't want to know. He really didn't want to know. But now tomorrow, I can get up and do something that doesn't matter. You won't know I'm doing it, and it doesn't seem to matter worth nothing, does it? Running wire, punching a press, cleaning a house. Doing your studies, teaching kids, and they learn nothing because they ain't listening. Any teachers here? Yeah. But I can lay my head on my pillow tomorrow night and go, "Lord, I did this for you today." I wouldn't let Ishmael have control. He's going to try to have control tomorrow morning when you wake up. He's going to slip in there and say, "Man, this don't matter. It doesn't matter what attitude you have about sweeping the floor." According to God, it does. Sure it does. But the great thing is, it's not like he's lording over you. He's saying, "Hey, I'll tell you what I'll do. It's not just going to church. It's not just preaching a sermon. It's not just passing out a tract. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll reward you for everything. Just do it for me." Glory to God. What a deal. Because you know how much life is mundane and boring? For me, 99%. I don't know about you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, somehow you've done what obviously I cannot do in my own power. But Lord, Lord, I do love you. And I praise your holy name for saving me. And I praise your holy name for your book. I praise your holy name that we get to meet here without fear. And Lord, I've been in some places where at any minute someone might have broken in and stopped our meeting. I thank you for it. But tonight, if I could have one prayer, one heart's desire, it'd be that you would sink this down in. Help us to mull on it, and chew on it, and meditate on it. And Lord, then use it in the lives of these people. Lord, I know in your plan, you want to be a part of every part of their day. And in fact, Lord, the frustrating parts of our day are the places where we need you the most, where Ishmael's trying to come in and just do it all in his own power. Help us be aware of that, Lord. I know it's a simple analogy. But Lord, it just so to me describes life. Our lives could be so boring and mundane and even discouraging. We're not for the presence of Jesus Christ anywhere we go. So I pray you take from the youngest to the eldest. If it's encouragement, that's important, do that. If it's edification, Lord, if it's a little bit of correction. And Lord, remind us tomorrow morning of these thoughts. Remind us throughout this week of these thoughts that we might live unto you and serve you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm not worried about giving an invitation as such. However, with your head bowed and eyes closed, I really want to encourage you. God has set up something that is the greatest deal, you might call it, or arrangement on the face of the earth. And he said that if a believer will live unto him in their daily life, it will all count. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to put this thought in your mind. God is never looking to take your inheritance away from you. He's not looking for a chance to keep it for himself because he's got endless stuff. He has an endless inheritance. He will try to find a way to bless you if he can. So just cooperate with him. Just let this thing sink down in there. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's been times in my life, And every day I ask the Lord to show me if there's something in the way. There's times you'll have to deal with something. You will. Lord, I'm sorry I let this in. I'm sorry I let Ishmael have rule of this. I'm sorry I gave up this ground in my life. Lord, I'm going to take it back with the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith. Lord, I'm going to charge in there and take it back. I'm going to take charge of it. And maybe with your head bowed and eyes closed, somebody here in your heart, you need to say, Lord, you helping me, I'm determined to take back some ground I've lost as a believer. I just want Terry for a minute, then we'll close. Holy Ghost of God, I pray tonight that you'd pour blessing upon these dear folk. God, it's such a blessing to be here and such a good spirit, Lord. And we pray to be with Pastor, Lord, as he's over there and the burdens he carries and the things that are on his heart and mind, both here and abroad. I know his heart, Lord. There wouldn't be a minute goes by that he doesn't think about all the different things that are on in people's lives and their needs and all these places that you've put him to care over. I pray for them tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to love you, to serve you in a way that shows how worthy you are. We do love you, Father. And we pray it in Jesus' name for his honor, glory, and sake. Amen. Amen. We are dismissed.